let's have a word of prayer, and then we will get into our message this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can set aside this time to be closed off from the world and that it is shut out from us, but yet you are with us and we can see you and learn of you. Father, we ask that during this short time we have together, that your light would shine through, and Lord, that I would be hid, as was said this morning, but that you would be seen. Father, we do ask that each one of us would humbly come to you for who you are, and that you would meet our needs this evening. And Lord, we ask these things, that your name be praised, and we continue to praise you. Amen. This evening, we are going to be looking at a topic. The topic is truth. And there is a very important reason why we are looking at truth. Truth is not just something that you can take or leave. It is not something that is of low importance, but it's actually very, very important that we not only understand that there is such a thing as truth, but that we can strive towards it, we can look for it, and the solution is found in Christ. If truth is not true, if it is something that is changeable based on where you live or what year it is, then nothing is certain. The very ground we stand upon is melting molten rock. It is uncertain. And any of you who have ever once lived in a lie, you know that eventually it all comes crashing down. You can prop up your lie as long as you like, normally by telling more lies, but eventually the truth comes out. And when it does, all that was lie falls apart and it destroys in its wake. And so we must be careful not to fall in to believing something is truth or that nothing is truth. We must know that God is true. I'd like us first to go to John chapter 14 and verse 6. And we will be turning to a few passages. I probably have too many to get to tonight, but we'll get to as many as we can. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus says that he is the truth. Jesus makes the claim that he is the truth. With this one statement, Jesus sets the whole world in opposition. Either Jesus is true, or all of those who do not stand with Christ, any other way that anyone else has ever come up with, is true. One of those has to be right. If truth is subjective, then Jesus is everywhere and everyone, and we can imagine him any way we like. But that is not reality. In fact, we could say this is aligning truth with reality. Reality is that Jesus Christ was born and he lived on this earth, and he died on the cross, and he rose again, and that is truth. That is reality. There is no other way to get to the Father than through Jesus. And if truth is not a reality, something that is fixed, something that is certain and concrete, something you can rely upon, then our reliance upon Jesus is cut at its very root, because Jesus claimed to be such a truth that is unchanging. If we go to Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, Titus chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. If God cannot lie, then if there is such a thing as truth, God must be it. He must know it. He must be able to explain it, show it. else God himself is a lie. Because he has claimed here that he cannot lie. What he says is true. Truth is therefore foundational to believing in an eternal God. You cannot believe in God unless you also understand that truth is real. It is not made up. It is not something passed from one to another. It's not something that you perceive one way and someone else perceives another. And the world has been selling this lie for a long time, that truth is relative. And even as Christians, it seeps into our thinking. Oh, well, that's just the way you think of it. That's what you think is true. And we sometimes let that stand. But real truth, true truth, it stands on its own. It is eternal. It lasts. Jesus relied upon the truth in all of his teaching. And he over and over again said, the law taught this, but I teach you. It wasn't because he was making things up. It was because he knew what was real. The way they had twisted the law, that wasn't reality. But what Jesus taught was truth. We're now going to look at a few verses in the book of John that explain to us the truth. And we'll begin in John chapter 1 because that'll make it easy to go through. We'll look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We see here the Word, that is Christ, being made flesh, but still being full of grace and truth. This also gives us a hint at the nature and the being of God. He also is full of grace and truth. And if he wasn't, that is, if God the Father wasn't full of grace and truth, then he would not have sent his Son to represent him being full of grace and truth. Truth is like light. When you have light on, when you switch on the light, it pushes out the darkness. That's one way of looking at it. If the light is there, then there is no darkness there. And even in our imperfect world, when you turn on the light, immediately darkness flees and you can see. Maybe you can only see a little bit. Maybe your light's not very bright. But it still pushes out the darkness. The same is true about truth. Truth pushes out lies. It is a positive force for removing that which is false. When you speak to someone and they think one thing and then you tell them the truth of the matter, it immediately rings true. And it confronts all of their lies. In John chapter 8, we find that Jesus desired his disciples to follow in the truth. In John chapter 8 and verse 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus desired his disciples, those who followed him, to understand and accept the truth, and that truth would deliver them. It would deliver them. This is not just a truth, but it is knowing Jesus who is truth. That is what would free them. Lies bind us. One lie leads to another, as we've already mentioned. But when you lie, you tie yourself to that lie. When you speak the truth, you are free to continue speaking truth or to fall into lies. But once you've started down the path of lies, you are tied to it. It chains you. The truth is very important for those who would follow Christ. If we are His disciples indeed, we're continuing in His Word, and we will know the truth. This verse assumes that there is truth to find. This world has lost its desire to find the truth. I remember as a boy, even watching cartoons, people were in those cartoons were looking for the truth. They were assuming that there was truth to find, and that was what was being sought for. Now people do not want to know truth. They want to have confirmed for them whatever idea they already have. If they've ever heard that evolution is true, for instance, and I know a few of you here would agree with that, so I'm speaking something very safe here, but evolution, and they think, well, I've heard of evolution, therefore I will look for someone to back up my idea. Instead of saying, I want to know what's true, regardless of whatever I've heard or been told, I want to know what's true. People are too worried about their feelings and other things to rely upon the truth. We're going to have to quickly dodge away to 2 Timothy chapter 4, but maybe keep a finger in John because we'll be back there. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 4. And this is talking about those who will not listen for sound doctrine. It says in verse 4, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. It would be easy to say, oh, well, you must find out the truth. But what are the consequences of failing to find the truth? Well, if you don't believe or understand or acknowledge the truth, then what are you left with? Here in 2 Timothy, we have it described as fables. Fables, stories that have little impact. They might have a moral to them, but they're very casual, surface-level stories. All we have are narratives that have been told to us. Things that people who may have lied to us, that if they've told us and we've accepted. But they are fables. They are not truth. So if we are not careful to turn our ears to the truth, we will, without fail, fall into fables. This puts the imperative on us. This puts all of the responsibility squarely on our shoulders to turn our ears towards that which is true. To listen for when we hear something that is true and say, that's true. I'm going to hold on to it. And then to hear something else, no matter how pleasing it might be, and say, that is a fable. I'm not going to be taken with that. We must be very careful in tuning our ears. You may say, well, why would we do that? Well, go back to John chapter 8, and we're still here in John chapter 8, because Jesus is dealing with truth. And in verse 44, he talks to those who didn't believe him. So we already read in John chapter 8, those who were following him, those who were believing him, that they would know the truth. But now in verse 44, he's talking to those who are not believing him. And he says, ye are of your father the devil. The lusts of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth. What is one of the characteristics of the devil? The enemy of God. What is one of his foundational characteristics? He is a murderer, but he abides not in the truth. notice here that Jesus is putting as parallels these two evil things, and they are equal in Jesus' sight. The devil is known as a murderer from the beginning and also as a liar from the very beginning. Did you catch my little trick there? I said liar, but he's not at that point declared a liar. Instead, it says he abode not in the truth. It's later in the verse when we go down, he says, when someone speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he, that is the devil, is a liar and the father of it. But where it starts is he abode not in the truth. The devil knew what was true. He was standing in the very presence of God, and he turned his back upon what he knew was true, and then he began speaking lies. It's the same for us. If we leave the truth, then it is hard to find our way back, and we will just continually speak from lies. The devil, he is the father of those who do not speak the truth. He is their father. But we need to be careful that we are not tripped up by him. We're going to continue reading a few more verses here in chapter 8, verses 45 and following. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. God is the one who defines truth. He is the one who speaks truth. Just as he spoke and light came into existence, so he is true. There is no lies in God. None. If we do not believe Jesus, then we are speaking from the devil and speaking lies. We have fallen down first to turn our back on the truth, but then to go into fables and then to proclaim them ourselves. We even go so far as to lie to ourselves, which might be the hardest one to recover from. If you lie to someone else, you might be able to apologize to them. But once you have lied to yourself enough, it is hard to even tell what is truth. It is hard to ever figure out where you went wrong. We need to be very, very careful of that. If we go now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we will see a reason that many fall away from the truth. 2 Peter chapter 2. And verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Here we have the gospel and those who follow Jesus being called the way of truth. But if we do not speak truth, if we, as it says in verse 1, become false prophets speaking heresies, if we even follow their ways, we bring into disrepute. That is, we make everyone look at Jesus and him and his followers and say, how wicked, how evil, how gross. We must be careful to speak the truth, otherwise the truth will be evil spoken of. Where do we find truth? There's many places we could go to find truth. Maybe you would think you could go to a university or something like that, although I would say there's a lot less truth there now than there was in days gone by. But universities have never been the source for truth. No, it is God who is the source of truth. And to go to him is to go to his word. He has revealed to us much about himself, and he has revealed to us much that we need for life and for godliness in his word. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, we read, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We might have to work a bit. We have to be workmen in God's word, but there is truth there. It's worth the effort to get to the truth in God's word. You may say, oh, but sometimes the preacher's boring. I hope I'm not boring tonight. You say, sometimes it takes a long time to understand something. Or there's a difficult passage and there's phrases that I just don't understand. What about those these and thous? You know, we look at that and we say, oh, it's difficult. No, we need to look at it and say, it's worth it. It's worth it to dig into God's word. It's worth it to dig in and come to the truth. As we already read, the truth will make us free. We can know the truth. Back in John chapter 17, if you want to turn there with me. John chapter 17, and we'll begin reading in verse 17. Jesus is praying for his disciples, and I believe for us as well. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You may say, I don't know what truth is. Jesus asked the Father to help you, as a follower of his, come to truth. And he asked God the Father to not only just give you some truth, but for your life to be changed through truth. Look at that verse again. Sanctify them through thy truth. Your life can be different if God is using the truth in your life. It will change your life and it will make you sanctified, as it says here, or more holy. It will make your walk closer to what God intends. I am not preaching here sinless perfection, but I am preaching that the truth will keep us from lying to ourselves and being a disgrace upon the name of Christ. And Jesus prayed for you and for me that we would be sanctified through the truth. If we continue on down in verse 18 and 19. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they might also be sanctified through the truth. We have Jesus as an example of one whose life is set apart through the truth. Now, here Jesus is talking about how he lived his life while he was here on this earth. Jesus was, of course, holy from eternity past all the way through till eternity future. But while he was here on earth, he walked, as he said to John the Baptist, fulfilling all of the law. He walked showing us how we need to act and how we need to live out the truth in our life. Sanctification is not talking here about when we reach heaven and we are glorified and we have a new body and we no longer have the propensity to sin. Won't that be wonderful? No, this is talking about the everyday struggle that each one of us has to live out the truth of God's word, to rely upon Him, to continually change us into His image. God wants the truth to impact us. So you see where we've gone here. We started with God is true, and there is such a thing as truth, and then everything else is lies, to now the point where truth not only helps us to continue to stay on path, but it also cleanses us and makes us right with God. Now, again, I'm not saying if we read God's word, we gain favor with God. But I'm saying that once you have believed on Jesus, and His blood has washed away your sin, then the truth of His word will continue to work through your heart and make your everyday actions more and more in line with what He wants for you. Paul also describes this in Philippians 4:8, and you can just write this down if you want. He says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, etc., think on these things." Paul says, if there is something that is true, think on these things. We could go through each one of those things in that list, and a number of them point to truth. Just as an example, in that verse we are told that whatsoever is honest. Well, you can't have something that's honest unless you agree that there is objectively something that is true and then is spoken as being true. That's what honesty means. Justice. Well, you can't have something that's just unless you know that it is right and good. And that can't be true unless there is such a thing as truth. This morning in Sunday school, we looked at how the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And we got through that verse in John 16, how the Spirit of truth, when He was come, would guide us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit can help us to know what is true. He can teach us. That's one of the reasons He's here. He comforts us and He teaches us. The Holy Spirit is one that we must rely upon. But that is because He is the Spirit of truth. God is true. I think we have successfully proven that truth is important and that we need to dig for it and search for it. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, we see a description of the latter times. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." Here, those who are opposing themselves and in those last times are departing from the faith, they are not just being swept away because someone tricked them. No, it is because they should know the truth, but instead they have begun believing lies. Again, follow the pattern that the devil set. They ignore the truth. They turn their back on it, and then they begin speaking lies. Jesus wants us to so focus on getting the truth right that we are workmen that need not be ashamed, that we are ever being sanctified. We can rely on the Holy Spirit, and we can rely on God's word. The word of truth will show us what is true. And so, I just want to again repeat what John said in John 14:6. "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Jesus is the truth. We must also be true, or we are not His, we are the devil's. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank You that You are truth, that You have no lies in You. You cannot lie. You will not lie. You never have lied. Father, we thank You that truth and light come from You in such an essential way that it could be used to describe who You are. And Father, we thank You that You have given us the ability to find the truth. We thank You, Lord, that Your word is something that we can delve into and examine for the truth. And Lord, we are thankful that your truth is that which will change our lives and will sanctify us and bring us into a more correct walk with you. Father, we ask that you would be with us this week, that our eyes would be fixed on you, that your word would live in our hearts, and that we would ever walk with you and not be turned to fables. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you, as the true one, as the way and the life, that you came and you really existed and did the things that are told us in the Bible, all of those miraculous things. And your life really does have an impact in providing salvation for us. And Father, we ask that you would be with us through this week. We ask that you would keep us safe and keep our hearts. Amen.